Romy, can you come up? We're going to take some questions for the next 10, 15 minutes, then we'll close in prayer. It's 8:30. I want to get you guys home. But I do want to answer questions. Hand raised for questions. My sister back there, what's your name?
Gail.
Gail, what's your question?
You know, it's up to the government how they will handle that. The lawmakers, the law breakers up there in Washington, right? They play this game. They know that it's a milking cow for mostly for the politicians.
Yep.
It's a source where they will one way or the other because everybody believed on it. But the future of it, really, that's the reason why we mentioned about IRAs. They came up with that alternative because they know that particular system will never, ever provide you a comfortable retirement. Never. It's there. You could use it for, you know, as extra. But kind of relying on it, you know, whether it's going to be there or not, it's up to those boys up there.
The other thing I want to say about that to kind of help her, help all of us who would be moving into the Social Security bracket is that if you understand the philosophy behind the Social Security system, as Romy had stated, at the end of your hardworking years, you're only going to get 20% of all that you put in. You have accepted a model of theft against yourself. Do you guys understand that? That's a model of theft against us. Which means I am pouring into the system not only for my own social insecurity, but for other people's social insecurity. But more than that, right now they're using the money for all kinds of frivolous things.
Yep.
Yes, this is why many people have said, let's kill the Social Security system. Let everybody establish their own Social Security.
Yep.
But politics in its dialectic works it out where fear is draped upon the nation. The poor people don't know how to manage their life, so we got to take money from you and take care of the poor people. And if you don't let us do it, you're really bad.
Yep.
And I'm simply saying it's a cash cow for the government.
That's
and
right.
It always has been.
Right.
The numbers get crunched and they get to take that money out secretly and do what they do with it. And then they come out 20, 30 years later talking about, well, we thought it was going to accrue. You know, economy is bad, and so it's shrinking, and a lot of you are going to have to work longer. This is simply voluntary slavery. Next question. Hold on. My sister over there. Yes. I'll let Romy talk first on the gold and silver thing, and then I'll just make a brief comment.
That's a commodity. I don't deal with that. We deal mostly with stocks and bonds. It's mutual fund. It's totally diversification. We don't. You know, it's up to the money management to deal with that, but it's not. You know, on an individual basis, if you're trying to invest on that, you have to really invest. You have to get the expert on those areas.
So a couple things that would...
You know, you better get good advisors and make sure that he's a certified, licensed security person dealing with commodities. If not, he'll give you... See, sometimes we get advices from people who doesn't know anything about anything. Well, yeah, well, what it is, you know, sometimes in a portfolio, it's mostly if it's depending on what fund you're getting into, but sometimes majority of the fund managers doesn't really go through commodities. That's a different dealings out there.
But that is a real world. Commodities are a real world. And gold and silver... and precious stones are always a safe bet as long as you're with a viable company that can prove a track record of being honest and having the asset on hand, because there's a lot of complexity to that market. But if you are talking about diversifying your savings, you always want to have your some monies in commodities,
yeah.
Gold, silver, and things like that. Definitely, without a doubt. That's just a historic trend. Yes, there are risks, but if you play it smart, the risks are minor.
Yeah, it's always part of the, you know, diversification program that the mutual fund company does, you know. That's why they call themselves money managers.
I'll get you up in a second, Tracy. Back there with your hand up. White T-shirt. Back there. Yeah, you want to, there you go. Speak up, my brother.
What is a good vehicle for compound interest?
Anything that earns interest that's above inflation and cost of living. Now you need to sit down with a financial professional or knowledgeable about that, like ourselves.
I'm not trying to promote ourselves. Let me answer that, because that's a trap. I don't need your mic. I got one. You have to sit down with a reputable financial institution and actually hear what they have to say about it. But what you're going to do if you guys are ready to invest your money is you have to learn about these things, because you have to know how the money system works. And then you are going to have to apply the principle of faith as well, because risk comes behind it. And so there are lots of reputable companies out there, a lot of bad companies. You can, if you want to, start getting advice from somebody as practical and close as Romy. He has been doing it for a number of years. And one of the things I want to be careful about with that question, so that there won't be any unprincipled person at Grace, because I get them. I get folks who just, they build all these weird notions that would assume that what we're doing is setting people up to buy into the financial organization that Romy works out of. Nothing could be further from the truth. This is why I told you this is not about making money or becoming rich. This is about managing your own money. And I would kind of rather that kind of question be defrayed, not that I don't have full confidence in his institution, because I have invested in his institution for years. When we were talking about that principle of 72, the law of 72 and compound interest, I saw how it delivered me out of many, many, many situations when I had to go back in and dip out of my little savings to put my son through college and my daughter through college and my kids through college. You know why? Because the money was growing. And that's what it's there for. So you just have to learn about it. You got to spend the time to learn about it. Romy can help you. Next question. Brother Tracy.
Before I say that, it's just like for the ones who didn't get the brochure last Wednesday, when you go home, get one.
Do you have brochures here today?
I have brochures.
One per family.
One
and one per person if you're not married.
Yeah.
Brother Tracy.
Yeah, we only got.
That movie, The Wall Street, the movie Wall Street, is still fear.
Yeah. Yeah, but the fear is rooted in what? Ignorance. If you're going to mind your own business, learn the money game. Rich man, poor man, rich dad, poor dad said the reason why people don't have the kind of success they should is because they're not willing to be educated in these things. Once you get educated, the myth is removed. It's just a matter of whether or not we are willing now to take the risk by faith. If we got our house in order, we can take logical risks by faith and wait for the trends to follow through and see the blessing. My brother. My sister back there. There you go with the blue shirt on.
I wanted to ask, you talked about credit cards. And if you don't establish credit, you don't get credit cards. How would you establish credit?
Do you want to start with that? There's ways to do it, but I'll let Romy start. There's ways to do it.
See, that's part of the system. That's how they want you to think.
Yes.
That's exactly how you fall into the trap. If you could you could establish a credit by just using it to your advantage, by being disciplined to use whatever and then pay it off. And then use that towards your advantage whenever you need it and then pay it off. That's how you establish that. But if you use that to establish and then make it like as part of
your economic structure, you're in danger.
You'll fall into the trap. Because you see, what happened is we're kind of conditioned here that if you don't have a good credit, you're not going to have a lifestyle. Anywhere cash is always good.
Now let me say this too, since we're both up here and with this principle. I am persuaded that if you start young, you young people start young, and you accrue a nice portfolio of money, and you do it properly, that itself becomes your credit. That opens doors for opportunities to do things. But what you're doing is disciplining yourself not to slide a card. You're disciplining yourself to use cash to pay for everything until you become wealthy enough to be able to pay for everything anyway. See, the goal of growing your money, young people, is so you can invest in companies or start businesses to produce what we call a positive cash flow system. You want to grow your money and look for an opportunity to invest in a business that will produce income because of that money. So you're developing a cash flow system. When once they see that you have been able to manage your money, the credit cards will come flowing in by the boatloads. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have to worry about it. As soon as they see what you have done with saving money, I'm talking to the young lady back there as well. As soon as someone sees that you have gotten out of the debt slavery system and start saving money, they're going to be sending you all kind of cards telling you got this. But what you want to be able to do, if God will give you grace, is to pay for everything cash. Yep. Otherwise, if you feel like you absolutely have to work the credit, you better already have behind you the resources for any kind of character default. Am I making some sense? If you're going to have a character default where you're going to fall in love with a certain purchase, well, you got to be ready to pay for that. Otherwise, they're going to slip you right back into the compound 72 principle, where they're going to make a whole bunch of money off of that one indiscretion. This is what we have to do. We have to get off of the credit system.
And I believe the reason why you're asking that, it's because it's just like everybody's doing this. It's sometimes, our purchasing power is not there, the things that we want. So we always try to rely on that credit card. So they want you to establish this, So one way or the other, it could be your emergency use. That's a trap.
And I want to say one more thing, and then we'll get my sister Rita B, and then we'll come down. You guys, we can keep talking. The idea that you cannot make it unless you build credit, I will challenge that supposition. It's a model and paradigm that is normative and works for people, but there are multitudes of people who don't follow that principle. For instance, my Asian brothers and sisters, my Indians, and then I'm talking about Chinese folks, and then Middle Easterners, when they come over here, guess how they come over here? With bags full of money. Now, you know what they do? They purchase things right out. And you know, because they have the money, they have more leverage to purchase that home that's going for $500,000 at $300,000, because they can pay for it cash. Because our debt credit system, the banking system right now, is clogged up because of uncertainty. So see, what they did back home is they made all kind of money, and now they're coming over here catching us in our vulnerable modes and buying up all of our goods and resources cash. They're smart people. They learned the game. And guess what else they've been doing? Buying all the gold in the world, because they know that eventually our money system has to change. It's just knowledge of the system. Let me see here, Rita B.
I was just amazed Wednesday night, just like a little testimony. I went home and put in the CD from Wednesday night, and you were talking about the same thing about the credit cards and the interest rate. My son, he has a credit card, my oldest son. And as you were saying it, he was reading the same thing about the interest rate on that. So I'm grateful that you guys are doing this right now.
Yep. Because they're asking him to be a slave.
Exactly. And it's difficult, and I know, but he's pretty diligent and pretty
He's human.
Yes.
He's human.
I believe and he's going to be able to get up off of that before it gets too bad. I really do. But
I don't believe that.
You know,
I'm the pastor, so I can talk like that.
I
don't believe it. Who is it, Torrance or Terry? If I was sitting with Terry, I would tell Terry, tear up that credit card. Don't do it. Delayed gratification. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Until he is able to build him a solid economic portfolio, he doesn't need to be handling credit cards. See, credit cards are for people who already have money management skills. They're only for people with money management skills. He ain't got that yet.
Right, and that's what I was saying, that I know him. You said it right at that moment that he opened up his bill. I know. He's getting ready to rip it up.
Will you pray for him?
Yes.
Right here.
So, credit card is advantageous for business people. But it's
people
not,
who already have a monetary portfolio that's sound and privileged, not for broke people.
Not for broke people.
All right, let's go. People. I don't want to stay on that because Romy, we cool, but people know that.
Yeah.
How is the savings able to grow when you invest? Like you said, the market goes up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So how is
that?
It's called the
ups and downs.
The law of averages.
The law of average. Dollar cost averaging. There are years the market is high. There are years the market is down. But if you're on a consistent basis, it never fails. In the last 30 years, everybody came up, the world came up with all kinds of negative stuff, selling you fear that it's the end of the world, the money's running out and everything, but the market keeps going. It's a game.
In fact, over the last 6 years, for people who have been in the market, they have made more money over the last 6 years than they did the previous years because the market has swung back up. The multi-millionaires have made trillions of dollars because the market has swung back up. That's part of the law of averages. So if you get into the market, what you will get is a diversified portfolio that will have different funds that will work to average out as a law percentage rate that will be far higher than the 1% in the bank or the negative in the bank or even 3%, 4%, 5%. And as he was saying, you see the trends go up and down. There's always risk, but to just leave your money where it is a worse risk.
Here's the secret. 2008, the market dropped. Now, if you understand that was part of the game, if you really understand what was going on.
Right.
So the average folks out. If the market fell, it's so easy and so cheap to go ahead and buy the cheapest shares in the market. Next year, it went from a minus. Next year, it went up to about 32%.
And now watch
how the market will never, I'm sorry, the market will, as long as the market is there, right, it will keep existing. That's the only place in the world you can make the money.
Now, so now follow the logic. I want you guys to follow the logic. There's always risk. But if your money is riding with the whales who know what they're doing, then you are going to benefit the same way they benefit. If your money is not in that wealth stream cycle, then your money suffers down here in the banks at 1% and even less than 1%. So what Romy is saying is get knowledgeable, get faith, and then invest discreetly in the system that's working for everybody because there's a sense in which we can say it's rigged. Okay? We can say it's rigged. But as the preacher says, if you keep saying there's a line in the way, and therefore I'm not going out to work, and you don't cast your bread upon the waters, as Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, so that you receive it after many days, as you learn on Wednesday, then what you don't get to do is what some of us have done, saw the market go up and down. I invested when it had crashed.
That's it.
And now I have seen the dividends prove themselves true on what is called the law of averages. And now I know that I can follow this same principle through for the next 15, 20 years, and I'll be fine. So long as I'm investing. I'm fine as long as the world doesn't end or the market crashes or we have to start all over. But that's the risk you take, isn't it? So what you would want to do theoretically is be in the market long enough to build your money and then get into some things that are more substantial that create a kind of cash flow that allows you to have ready cash. So you got to have several tiers. Now we're getting in deep, but this is what you want to grow your money to do. We can talk more about that later. At least you can talk with him. Don't talk with me. I'm just a dumb preacher, my sister.
You spoke about dividing the dollar into three parts. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, fundamentally, I was just talking about the fact that you make sure that you give to God as a Christian.
That's the part I want to know more about, the honoring God.
Right. Well, that's because that's what it says. That's Proverbs 3:9. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. That's Chronicles chapter 29. And that's all through the book. We are simply returning to God the finances that he gave to us so that the kingdom can continue working. Right? And so people who appreciate the fact that God gives them life, strength, health, a sound mind, and the capacity to make wealth, they're going to reciprocate with God. And I have learned over the years that poor people reciprocate poorly, and wealthy people who understand the system and know that God gave it to them reciprocate much better because they understand where it came from. And it's really as simple as that. And I don't think you're asking that, but people are always asking me around how much to give. They get into percentages. Once you do that, then I understand that at present we're not seeing the kind of wealth stream that allows you to just give out of the abundance of your heart. So say if we're dealing with like a limited income, then all you do with that limited income is look at what you can give and what you want to give. And according to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, give cheerfully from your heart what you want to give and discover how God will, he will respond to that over the long term. You are not under a legalistic system of tithing.
Right.
Yeah. It's giving because you love him and you want to see the kingdom spread. Am I making some sense?
Yes,
all right. But some people can give more than 10. We'll leave that alone. My sister. From Sister Rhea, right? And yes, I meant for that to be an emphasis on my part, right? Well, see, again, it's discipline. You have to be disciplined. And you have to be goal-oriented. Like if you sit down with a money manager, you want to ask them, if I give this much consistently over the next 5 years, what is it going to look like? If I give this much consistently over the next 10 years, what is it going to look like? If you like what those numbers say, you stay consistent with those numbers. This is what I meant by disciplining yourself. Your goals have to be more important to you than compunction and spontaneous amour to do something that makes you feel good. You have to be disciplined, knowing that, as I said, if you want to shop at the nice stores when you get older, because you have accrued a money tree that was predicated upon wisdom and predicated upon biblical principles, your conscience is going to be clear. You're going to be absolutely enjoying yourself because you love God and you've done it right. And he's going to say, enjoy yourself. That's what the text said. Ecclesiastes 5:19 said, let him enjoy the labors of his hands. That's a gift from God because you put in the time. You minded your own business. That's right. Well, we got it. The principle of saving is critical.
And the next move to technology, you go past the store with
yourself. Right. Well, we got to get out of the consumer mentality. And I wrote a booklet. It's in the back. You guys are all free to take one. It's called Mind Your Own Business. And it has these principles and more in them. And I talk about seven mindsets you have to overcome. We have to think right in order to prosper. We'll take a couple more questions and we're out of here. My brother Jack.
Yeah. You gave an example showing the fellow that just graduated from college of spending 100% of the money that he earned. And this program, it's just great.
Yeah.
I'd like to see this kind of thing. But what I would like to see is that same example showing that fellow how to spend his money so that instead of spending 100% of what he makes, making the same amount of money, not necessarily making more money, but knowing how to spend his money.
Right. But see, that got into the other areas of being a wise survivor.
Exactly.
And so he or she who was here, who was in that first model, have to pursue that.
Okay.
And say, let me learn from somebody how to do this thing right. And I, what I had stated was learning from the older people. They need to, you can teach them.
And just on a small scale, what I'm talking about is the excitement of going out and buying a new car, for example.
Yes.
Whereas you can wait and buy, first of all, try to save the money to buy the car if you can.
Right.
If it's possible. But instead of buying that new car, buy a car that's 2 or 3 years.
Yes, sir.
Whereas you're going to pay only the amount that you would pay for the new car, and that's going to put you so much further ahead in that economic game. Another example is buying bulk.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm going to give just a very.
Aren't there many ways to do it?
Oh, there's so many.
Listen, Brother Jeff.
The way that you can
But Brother Jackson, I'm so thankful for your Bean County wife, because you're speaking wisdom now. Oh, I know. I know. I got one, too. She'll come home from some of those penny stores, and boy. But it's the right thing to do. And so you're right. If you're superficial and you get trapped by impulse to go buy a brand new Mercedes and you don't have the wealth stream to actually justify it, when you could buy one 2 or 3 years older and save 25 grand. Am I making some sense? See, those are the big differences. But you have to think.
And things like, instead of buying that first home.
That's right.
Buying a single family home. Maybe buying a 2 units that's going to cost you about the same amount.
Live in one.
But that tenant is going to be paying half of the financial obligation.
On the mortgage. That's right. A lot of things.
And in no time, you'll be in a position where you can keep that place.
Right.
And maybe move on to that next home, and you'll still have the rental property. And, you know.
But that wasn't the nature of the class.
Right.
Because once people are persuaded of the model,
okay,
then all these options are available that you're talking about.
Yeah. I understand, and I hesitated to bring these things up for that very reason.
Right. Because it's rich,
right,
but it's not for tonight with our basic people.
It's basically info.
My brother info. Back there. You got to talk to a financial advisor, but in on a basic level, it's going to take you about, depending on what resources you have and what assets you have. So you got to go back through my booklet and read it carefully, because that outline really gave you the keys. It's being able to look at your assets and see what you can do to put a bulk down payment down on a home, if in fact that's what you want to do. Remember, we learned some things about the pros and cons of purchasing a home. There's some hidden costs, brother. You got to have a solid income base with the potential of growth in that income base for you to live and not become a slave to that mortgage, to that home. So you want a real smart financial advisor to help you prepare for that trajectory, okay? And it can happen. I lie. Hold on for a second. I'll get you in a second. Hold on.
Okay, so I do have one question, but I did have three things that I just really want to quickly say. One is mind your own business. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 11, it says, and that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your hands as we commanded you.
That's right.
And then also in paying for another's business. Every time you give your money to somebody else's business, if you look at the dollar bill, that's a covenant. It's a surety for an exchange.
Right.
So you're having a covenant. Proverbs 22, and I learned this Proverbs 22, verses toward the latter end, it says in verse 27 or 26, be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are of sureties or debts, if you don't have nothing to pay. Then it says this, why should you take away thy bed from under your own head? Why should you take away your bed underneath you?
Now, let me say something about that, because I don't want you to extrapolate that verse beyond its legitimate framework. So, yeah, there's a sense in which there's covenant taking place between people when they give out money. But the text really there that is speaking to people getting into contracts that don't have the power to pay those contracts up, just like Proverbs chapter 6. So that's the whole idea that God would tell his people not to get caught up in debt systems. Don't get caught up in debt systems. And the second thing that God would say to you, which is what I was saying to young people, don't you become a debtor for somebody else. Like, one of the worst things we can do, and we do it as parents, we become debtors for our children. And unless you're just willing to pay off that debt, if you haven't taught your children money management principles, you're going to own that debt. Am I telling the truth? You're going to end up paying it down. And it's much better that they would learn by trial and error how to overcome those things for themselves. So that's fundamentally what that means. Yeah, well, because it's God's principle that has nothing to do, it doesn't have immediately to do with the gospel. It has to do with humanity. That's why we go back to Genesis. So that's why God says the unrighteous are wiser in the unrighteous mammon often than the children of the kingdom. So anyhow, you know what? We're going to stop in prayer and close in prayer because of time. Yes.
My question,
Yeah, we are, everyone that knows anything about the economy knows that we are in a recession at a certain level. All of us who are poor are in a recession. And we won't come out of that recession until the people way at the top are willing to let the money loose and create new jobs. Yep. But what I said on Wednesday, I'm going to say to you guys now too. Don't fall into the blame game. Forget blaming people.
Yeah.
Just learn how to operate it yourself. Because blaming people don't solve your poverty. Just because they're in control doesn't matter. You got God on your side. So learn how to actually follow the principles of commitment to Christ and then work that system for you. If you get into the structure, when we go back up, that next upswing is going to be a huge blessing for the people that are ready. Am I making some sense? For the people who are ready, even at the most minuscule level, when that next upstream goes, everybody else goes up with it. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Jessica? Jessica. If I can do what? I've read about it. You want to know about investments? Can I actually turn you over to Mr. Romy one day? You know him. He's the usher, right? Is that okay? Because investment takes a little time to talk about. But they are safe. And I've got my kids in that trajectory. Some of them are already doing it, even as young as you guys are, because you can do it. And I want to see you guys able to just enjoy the benefits of it in the next 10, 12 years, too. It can be done, okay? We'll make sure you get the inside scoop. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you for all the brothers and sisters that came out. As we go our way now, give us traveling mercies and take us to our homes. And give us good sleep and rest tomorrow. And may we worship you as you ought to be worshipped. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys for coming out.